Good morning, everyone. What a great day the Lord has made for us to gather together today. And, you know, last week when we celebrated Independence Day, there's so many folks that were enjoying that time with each other that we certainly missed you. So if you were gone last weekend, just say that we noticed in a good way and that we're thankful that you're here with us today. Let's go ahead and begin our service today with recognizing our gentlemen who are in the corners. Can we start off by allowing ourselves to be the church and lift up any prayer requests or moments of joy in the Lord's blessing upon us this week? Just put your hand in the air if you'd like to share either one of those with us. Anyone? Sorry, I kind of went down. I was looking for a pen. Ron, thank you for letting me use your pen. Now, I would love to use this pen, so does anyone have any prayer requests or blessings they'd like to share with us? Sweet.
I do have a prayer request for our grandson, Sammy. He has, he's in Korea on the DMZ. So we just want you to lift him up in prayer while he's there.
Yes.
While I'm up here and have this in my mouth, I have an announcement. Next Sunday, we will not have a UMW meeting. We will have one in August on the 8th, and we'll go to Big Boy, our normal time, 8 o'clock. Thanks.
All right. That was for Sammy? Okay. All right. Anyone else? Oh, just a second, you'll get one coming right to you.
Prayer request to continue for Vacation Bible School, praying for everything to come together. It is coming together. Praying for the kids who we will touch, and also praying for volunteers that have stepped up and volunteered, and also praying that more volunteers will step up and volunteer. I still need at least 4 people. It's not hard, but I still need at least 4 people to lead groups, just to be like a group buddy for age groups. And I need 2 brave volunteers to help us with the beginning skit. It's all written out for you. You just have to act out, and one of them is actually a puppet, so you can be hiding your face. So I do need 2 for that.
Right.
So just prayers for all of that coming together. And if you have any questions or would like to volunteer, please see me or Pastor or the office.
Okay, great.
Yep, I have 3.
Oh.
Good to see you again. I've been out at Forrester. The organist or piano player was gone. And when she's gone, they have to go to a CD. And that's not fun. So it's good to see you all again. 2 other things. There's still some upper rooms, I think, back there, Gary, are there? Yep, it's only the 9th. So be sure you pick up your upper room. And the third thing is highway pickups 2 weeks from today. Last year, I don't know if you remember, it was so hot we canceled. But maybe it'll be okay on the 23rd. All right, thanks so much.
And Bob, we gathered over 1,000 bags. We finally crested that mark last year, right? And so that began with us doing it each Sunday at a time. So we need to continue that tradition, right, of each Sunday doing that. Okay. Yeah, okay. Richard Stone, from this end to this end, we have it. Okay.
And I'd like to ask for prayer request for Vicki, because she goes for kidney stone surgery this Wednesday.
Yes, praying for continued healing and for the wisdom of the doctors in that procedure. Anyone else?
Oh.
Kathy?
Okay, this weekend, not this weekend, but the next weekend, the Marlette area players are doing the Wizard of Oz as part of the Marlette Dog Days of Summer. And we're doing 5 shows, actually, 2 weekends this year. And we're going to, opening night is July 14th, Friday. It starts at 6 p.m. a little earlier. On Saturday at 6 p.m. also, we're doing a show. And at 2 p.m. on the 16th, on the Sunday, we're doing a matinee. And then the next Friday, the 21st, that's 6 p.m., and the Saturday at 6 p.m. also be our closing night for Wizard of Oz. We're all working real hard on it, a big cast. I'm playing Glinda, the Good Witch of the North.
Hey,
and I'm going to have a huge pink dress and pink crown and real glittery. So it's like a dream come true. I love it. I got to play it once before in Tennessee. And so I'm glad I get to do it, 5 shows. And then you have lots of other fabulous actors in our cast doing all the roles and ensemble. So So come on out and see it. Bring the kids to see Wizard of Oz. It's at the Marlette High School cafeteria stage. And it's a big stage, you know, it's nice, lots of seating in there. And it's a free will donation, a few dollars, $5, $10, whatever you want to donate for the Marlette area players and the Wizard of Oz.
Great. Yep.
This is a prayer request and an announcement. The prayer request is, I'm hoping people in our congregation will come to me and say, yes, I would love to help continue paying for the parking lot out here by way of the donations for the three quilts, which is a $10 ticket, first, second, and third, Afghans, excuse me, first, second, and third Afghans, and a $10 for the donation for the quilt over there. Marilyn Stoliker made that quilt, and it's almost a king size, she said. So my prayer request is that people will come to me and say, Barb, I'd love to sell a couple packet of tickets. There's six in a packet for the quilt and six in the packet for the Afghans. And I'm really going to try and ask people that I didn't ask the last one. So if you didn't do any the last time, you know, look forward to visiting me either on your terms or on my terms. Thank you. And we have until August 31st to get this project done. Thank you.
So when she says on your terms or her terms, what she means is this week she'll be available in fellowship after service. Next week she will be at the doorway to see you on the way out. Anyone else? Yes. Oh, just one second.
Yes. Oh, okay. My brother is home from the hospital. He had a triple bypass. He's doing well, and hopefully he continues. And he has a private nurse coming in, not a private nurse, but public nurse coming in every week to check on him. And he's doing quite well. Thanks for all your prayers.
Yes, yes. So we praise the Lord for that initial update and continue prayers for recovery as well.
John Wood, yep.
Okay. Yes, Katie.
Continued prayers for my parents. They're going back to the Mayo Clinic, so it's going to be a long trip, but hopefully we actually get some answers. So please pray for them. And then I'm having surgery on Thursday, so please just pray for a quick recovery because I don't have time to chase my kids. So
they don't seem to appreciate the doctor's note, do they? Anyone else? Mike? So right after the service, if you're a member of the trustees, or a member of the endowment fund, if you could meet over in the nursery for a quick meeting after service, it would be appreciated. Anything else? All right. Do we have any other announcements that we need to share? What about birthdays this week? Are we celebrating any birthdays this week?
Yeah, my wife and I are both celebrating our birthday on Thursday. She's a lot older than I am, so I'm not going to give it to her.
Both on Thursday. Oh, wow. A great day to be a Henderson, right? And the household is on birthday day. That's got to get tricky, who gets to pick out where you go to eat and what flavor cake. And yeah, right. Happy birthday to me. Oh, and you too. Yeah. Anyone else join the Hendersons this week? Yes. Oh. What day? Wow, tomorrow, Aunt Debbie's birthday. That's going to be fantastic. Anybody joining Deb and the Hendersons this week? Okay, let's go ahead and sing happy birthday. And so also please pass on to Amy if you see her this week that we wish her a happy birthday. Anyone celebrating an anniversary this week? Anybody had a mid-July, early July wedding? No? Okay. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the next part in our service today as we officially begin. Could you please stand if you're able and we'll sing together number 399, Take My Life and Let It Be. Thank you. Would you please stay standing if you're able and join us for a moment of prayer to ask the Lord's infinite blessing on our gathering together today. Almighty God, today as we just sang, we offer and want to submit ourselves to you, Lord. We would ask that you would take our gifts, you would take our abilities, you would take our willing spirit, and Lord, you would even speak to us if we seek to hold on with both hands. Lord, be blessed by the time we are gathered together to give you praise, reverence, and we are awed in your presence. Lord, work within us and around us to raise each individual and this church up to be a powerful witness to the kingdom coming of God. We ask these things in a mighty blessing in the Son's powerful and majestic name, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You may be seated. And as we find our seats today, I would invite us to sing together this song of our faith, number 534, Be Still, My Soul. Amen. A great song of our faith when we're talking about the things that we aren't always excited to face, but knowing that the Lord is never not by our side. At this moment, I'd like to ask the children to come up today, if we have any. This is a time that we set aside for our young ones before junior church that takes them downstairs for their own time of learning during the service, but this is a time we get to spend with them before that happens. So come on up if you want. If you haven't been with us in a long time, or maybe it's your first time, if you don't know if you want to come up or not, you can feel free to bring an adult or another friend to come up with you today. Oh, speaking of a couple of friends, you got a couple of squeezy friends down there, don't you? Who's that, Littlefoot down there? No, that's somebody else, isn't it? Elliot? Oh. All right. Well, thank you. You want to come on up, Johnny? You want to sit there? How many of you have seen or used one of these? Actually, let me ask, how many of you have seen one of these before? Use your hands up if you've seen it before. Yeah. How many have used one of these things before? Yeah. Well, what have you used it for?
Catch butterflies.
Yeah. Very good, right? What about you?
Catch lightning bugs.
You guys had your hands up too. What have you used it for? Butterflies, right?
Butterflies.
Butterflies. For catching fish, right? That's a no-brainer. It's for fish. It's a fish-catching net. That's right. Good man. All right. Anybody else? For moths? Anybody else? Bugs. Anybody else? Bugs? You know, Pastor Matt doesn't like to touch fish, so that's why I celebrate your courage, because if we ever caught him in here, another adult would have to touch it and take it out of the net for Pastor Matt. So I don't use it for catch. Well, I guess I do catch it for catching fish, but then I don't touch the fish. But you know what? What you said, Addie, is what we got this net for. We got it to catch lightning bugs. How many of you ever caught lightning bugs with one of these nets before? Yeah?
I didn't use a net. It just came on my arm.
You didn't have to use a net? You just caught it in your hand?
Uh-huh.
Your dad grabbed it. Well, he is quick.
He wiped it on his
what? Oh, boy. He wiped it on his shirt after. Maybe he thought it was a skeeter at night, right? Yeah. No, he didn't. He knew full well what he was doing. Katie? No. Yeah. Yeah. Just with your hands. And that's what's nice, because we always have our hands, don't we? Sometimes we always don't have a net. But have you ever had success catching one with the nets? You know, what's the hardest part about trying to catch a lightning bug with one of these? Because they fly away, right? Yeah, and you know, have you ever had a hard time? Because lightning bugs aren't lit up all the time, are they?
Only at night,
only for a little bit. It's kind of like they tease us with their light, isn't it? Like they light up for just a second, we go running after them, and sometimes they shut their light off, don't they? You know, so what, you know, when we think about sometimes, I know we've heard downstairs and up here sometimes, we've sang and we know the truth that we're called as people that believe in Jesus, Christians, to shine our light in this entire world. But you know, just like a lightning bug, we can see the light for a second, right? But if we shut that light off, it's really hard to catch a lightning bug, isn't it, if they don't stay lit up? Do you also suppose that Jesus wants us to not shut our lights off, right? He wants us always to be in love with him and to always tell other people how much we love Jesus and that they can have a friend in him too, right? So just like it's hard to catch lightning bugs, let's always keep our lights on too, so that people don't have to work as hard to find out that we love Jesus in our life. Can we do that? Can we, next time we think about chasing a lightning bug, can we just pray that we would be like good Christians and have our lights on all the time so we wouldn't be so hard to catch? Yep, did you have something? They're like flashlights in the night, aren't they? So if you run fast enough, they'll kind of lead your way. That's a whole nother lesson. Maybe we'll lead into that next week. That sounds good, right? For lightning bugs leading our way. How about we get in our prayer positions and we pray for us not to get hurt chasing lightning bugs in the dark, but that we can be good lights for Christ. Can we do that? Let's get in our prayer positions, fold our heads and bow our heads and close our eyes. Please say this prayer after me, okay, kids? Dear Jesus, thank you for all the bugs, especially the ones that have lights. Thank you for making us a light in your world. Let us shine bright and be a blessing to others because we love you so much. Please bless Mom and Dad and everybody that's here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I think we also have the flag today. Who's doing junior church for us today? You're leading junior church today? Do we have anybody who hasn't carried it in a long time? Do we? Well, Bonnie, you don't know who's carried it week to week, have we? Miss Erin, do you know who hasn't carried it in a while?
Raise your hand if you have.
If you've never carried it before, could you raise your hand in the air? Sophia, would you like to carry this flag and lead it? Oh, you don't? Okay. All right. Okay. Anyone else want to help Pastor? Would you lead us down there? And everybody line up behind Audrey, and we'll lead you downstairs for your time of learning, okay? Thanks, kids, for coming together today. I had to ask special permission to use Scarlett's bug net because I used a prop before that I thought, since I bought it, you know, that I might have a license to use it. Apparently, I didn't ask permission. So I asked permission today, and you see how well it went. So we're thankful for that. As the children are going downstairs for their precious time of learning, one of the things that we've celebrated, if you haven't been with us in a while, or maybe a couple of weeks there, we've tried to celebrate since the beginning of this year, and Russ Shoemaker has taken on the task of trying to fill the opportunities that we have during our worship service to share our stories. And these are more than just illustrations that are meant to fit neatly in a sermon. These are our stories. These are moments when we get to share our faith. And sometimes it's not everybody's strong suit, right, to share in front of everybody. As a matter of fact, that's the largest surveyed fear of people, is talking in front of crowds. Well, church is different. It's people that love you and support you and recognize that we all have our strengths and we all have our shortcomings, but here we are loved despite those shortcomings. And so we've invited everyone to come up and share their story, and hopefully you've been blessed to do that, or you're further along on the list here. But today, we have Melissa Melissa Osborne is going to come up and share her story today. So Melissa, if you'd come on up today, it's a great opportunity for us. So as she makes her way up here, if you haven't shared your story yet, Russ, would you raise your hand just in case people don't know you necessarily by name? There he is over there next to his lovely wife, Bev. So if you have a story that you think you'd like to share, I encourage you to see them to maybe get on the schedule. But if you don't think you have a story to share, I will tell you right now, you're wrong. Your life has a story to be shared. God is at work in your life today, in the past, and will promise to be in the future. You have a story to share, and we would be blessed by hearing it. So please be encouraged to do that very thing.
Good morning. So he took my opening line. Public speaking is one of my largest fears. My name is Melissa Osborne, and I sat at the table of Elizabeth during the Mid-Michigan Emmaus Walk 62 in the spring of 2012. Some of you may know what the Emmaus Walk is, some of you may not. I'll get back to that and its importance to me shortly. I grew up in a single-parent home. My mom worked hard so that my brother and I had the things that we needed. My brother and I went to Lamont Missionary Church with our cousins when we were kids. Once I started high school, I would go to church with friends occasionally. But then you hit your late teen years, your early 20s, and it just wasn't important. Once my nephew was born, I only went to church for special occasions. I never made God a priority when I was younger. Fast forward to February 2010 when I met Matt. I knew that he wanted to be a pastor before we actually met, so I was prepared for what was ahead. I started attending church with him regularly and realized what had been missing from my life: fellowship with other Christians and a relationship with God. Now back to Emmaus. It was a complete mystery, but isn't that who God is? A mystery? He works in our lives in mysterious ways. We can't anticipate what he will do in our lives. My time at Emmaus was one of the most amazing experiences in my life. It's where I had my God moment. Those of you who read my devotional in the Lent booklet this year learned about the hatred that I carried towards my dad because he chose not to be a part of my life. The last full day of my Emmaus weekend, we were in our groups, and my table leader asked each of us what we wanted to pray for. I expressed that I needed prayer to rid myself of the hatred that I've been carrying around towards my dad for most of my life. When I left the Emmaus weekend, I felt like a huge weight had been lifted off of my shoulders. I no longer hated my dad. I forgave him. That was my God moment. A few weeks ago, Matt spoke about forgiveness. I forgive my dad, but I'll never forget. And a wise man reminded me that by holding on to that hate, I was only hurting myself. Now, I sure do love all the mamas out here, but when I look out at all the dads and grandpas, my heart hurts a little because of what I could have had. Sorry. Being a parent myself, I understand even more now how important it is to have a father. When Scarlett was only a month old, I remember sitting on the bed holding her crying. Matt asked me what was wrong, and I replied that every little girl needs her daddy. And I put her in his arms. I may not have had a dad in my life, but I did and still have some amazing men in my family who took that part. But knowing what I know now, I always have had a father watching over me and leading me along the way. God, just remember that God loves you and so do I. Thank you.
You know, usually you get a second to kind of hug when you sit back in the congregation, but boy, you got to keep going when that's your wife. Thank you for sharing your story with us today, Melissa. I think it speaks to a lot of people when some relationships might not have been what I believe that God intended for those to be. So we're thankful for the people that are in our life to fill those spaces. Could we please sing together, and we'll sing it through twice, as the deer when we think about this song. Can we remember it puts us in a state of peace and prepares us for our conversations and time spent with God. Number 2025, as the deer. Now that we are reminded that stillness and that only purpose of our lives, would you please join me in this moment of prayer, and we will join together by ending this moment by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Almighty and matchless God, your place in our lives is irreplaceable. It's unrefutable. Lord, you must be the priority in our lives to yield our spirits, to settle our hearts, to give breath and courage to those moments when we shouldn't stay quiet, and to snuff out those times when we should be still and quiet in the face of our brothers and sisters and before your presence. Lord, as we're reminded of the stillness in that scene that we just sang, we know that you can bring a peace that, even if we can't see and understand it, your peace is a mystery that goes beyond our understanding and comprehension. And Lord, we need your peace, the kind that only you can give. Lord, we would ask that you would quiet us and settle us enough so that we would get out of our own way and we would see you leading us and we would hear your voice calling to us. Lord, individually and as a church, we need you to lead us every moment of every day. Lord, you saw fit to lead us when we cried out, how is it that we pray? And your Son, Jesus, the Messiah, our Savior, said, use these words. And it's inspired by the prayer that is our tradition to say together as we offer the Lord's Prayer to you as one body in one voice together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We've bathed ourselves in prayer several times as we continue to do. And at this moment, when we celebrate the opportunities that we have to speak truth, whether it's in word or song or prayer, we would ask Kathy to come up today, as she is so willing to share with us her God-given gifts of music and talent. Would you please introduce to us the song that you've selected for our special music time together?
Yes, thank you. It's a song that's a favorite of mine, El Shaddai. It's a song written by Michael Card and John Thompson back in 1981. And it was using direct quotes from scripture as inspiration. And it was recorded originally by Michael Card, but it's more commonly associated with singer Amy Grant on her 1982 album, Age to Age. And the title comes from a Judaic name of God, usually translated as God Almighty. And some lyrics in the chorus are in the Hebrew language. And El Anyan No Adonai is a combination of two names for God, meaning God Most High, please my Lord. And Urkam Kadno Adonai is based on Psalm 18:1. I love you, my Lord, except for the Na, which is added to the song. So here it is, El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Shaddai, Anyana Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erkam Kana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai, through your power of your hand, turn the sea into dry land, to the outcast on her knees, you are the God who really sees, by your might you set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Anyana Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erkam Kana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Messiah ought to be, though your word contains the plan, they just could not understand. Your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, age to age, you're still the same, by the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erkam Kana Adonai, I will praise you till I die.
Glenda will also be sharing with us during the offertory as well. Hope you can appreciate that. But Kathy, we thank you for your song selection. Look forward to also hearing from you during offertory time. Today, our scripture leads us into one entire psalm. And when we're looking at psalms, if you're familiar with them or if you've gone through them in your own devotional life, you would see that there's such a ring of song or poetry there, and sometimes it's interesting and difficult, and sometimes there's a lot of chance and opportunity for some misunderstanding sometimes in the way that sometimes poetry is written. And so it's interesting to take a look at some of the opportunities that we have today in looking at Psalm 91. It's right about the middle of the Bible, the Psalm. So if you open the middle, chances are you'll get Proverbs or Psalm. And this is number 91. So we're looking at this. I would offer this up to you today. Psalm 91, the Old Testament reads this. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty God. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I fully and wholly trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare, and He will save you from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. And verse 5 says, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that seeks to destroy at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Verse 8 says, you will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot upon a stone. Verse 13 says, you will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord. Because He loves me, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, in the last three verses, this is a great promise. This song, this hymn, this poetry is quite often celebrated as both a moment of thanksgiving and a declaration of God's faithful promises. But I wanted to read this again a little differently, the last three verses, because we use a lot of that language in understanding that when this was written, a lot of times they would use singular masculine language, right? And it would talk to, because most of the people receiving these and offering these as oral tradition to the faithful people were traditionally males, of course. And the soldiers in whom this might be speaking to, and we're talking about a lot of these militant things, were naturally males. But let me read this today, because when we look at the newness, we need this to meet us where we're at today. And this isn't political. This is a moment I need us to remind ourselves. This is where the scripture meets us today. I would like to offer again the last three verses, Psalm 91, 14 through 16. Because God loves me, says the Lord, then I will rescue them. I will protect them, for they acknowledge my name. They will call upon me and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble and I will deliver them and I will honor them. With long life I will satisfy them and show my salvation to them. Today God's speaking through the psalm to us. We are the they. We are the them. This is the living word, because it was true then and it remains true now. It talks about the promise and the relationship that we have. Understand that there's no rites, there's no ceremony. There is only the Lord saying this in verse 14, because they love me. Because they made a choice, because they made a decision, because they've proclaimed their love for me, not their complete understanding of me, not even complete trust in me, though that's important, but understand it doesn't say complete trust, even if we're learning complete surrender. It says because they have chosen to love me, I will rescue them. Because they chose to love me, when they call upon my name, I will answer them. Because they chose to love me when they could choose not to, I will acknowledge them. I will deliver them from trouble and I will honor them. Because they chose to love me, I will satisfy them with everlasting life, which can't be measured, and this will satisfy and keep them. What a holy and wonderful promise to anchor our faith to. Because we have chose and made a decision to love God, these promises with no strings, no conditions, no exceptions. Because we chose to love God more than ourselves. Even Jesus, and we go back to this, made a decision to love God more than himself. In the Garden of Gethsemane, questioning, is there anything else that we can do? I have the power of legions of angels I could call by my side. Is there another way to accomplish what needs to be done for all humankind? But Jesus chose to love God. And we can see the promises that come from that unending grace, that fount that never runs dry. Now often, if we're familiar with the term lectionary, it sometimes goes on a 3-year cycle where you go through the entire Bible with different verses, and some people preach from the lectionary, some don't. And what it does is it breaks all these things up. Although oftentimes in the traditional lectionary, it would show that we would preach on Psalm 91, 1 and 2, but 3 through 8 isn't accounted for in the traditional lectionary. And that's interesting because obviously there's a reason why. There were a lot of smarties that were put together and figured this out. And the biggest reason that I was able to find during researching some of those processes was that not that it's not important. We would never say that. But verse 1 and 2 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." That is a declarative statement, right? That's kind of like the Apostles' Creed. Here it is, that's what it is. But there was a lot of confusion because verse 3 and verse 8 can sometimes be misunderstood. And that's where the eloquence of poetry needs to be understood. You see, because there reminds us in a time that all Scripture can be used in ways that don't always bring life, that don't always honor God. I would submit to you this. Let me see if I marked it right. It's going to be from the New Testament book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Matthew 4, verses 5 through 7. And for those of you that are flipping over to it, this highlights the temptation of Jesus just after he was baptized by John. Immediately he was tempted and led into the wilderness by the Spirit and tempted by the devil. Here is this moment we can see this morning's scripture coming back in a way that doesn't honor God, and we see how Jesus filters these things. This comes from chapter 4 in Matthew, verses 5 through 7. "The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple." Verse 6, "And if you are the Son of God," the devil said, "throw yourself down, for it is written in Psalm 91. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put your Lord God to the test." We can see the deceiver here trying to twist the truths in the poetry of Psalm 91 for his own purpose. using such a powerful verse, can you see the caution there in understanding verse 3 through 8? Because it's something that even the most powerful deception was used against the Son of God with those very verses. Does that bring power in how easy it could be to manipulate these messages? It's talking about this deliverance, this protection, and we can see very well highlighted here. In verse 6, it says in Psalm 91, "Nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness." Can we see highlighted in the gospel testimony in Matthew? That was the darkness hiding, the disease of tempting God with these spiritual untruths. That's important for us today because we have to understand that as people of faith, we are going to go through it. Your it's going to be different than mine. Or maybe your it's the same as mine. Maybe your it sounds very similar to mine, but we have some different faces, some different names in it. Maybe we will never be able to understand your it because it's so unique. It's so rare. This doesn't say that the Lord will keep from us the troubled times. To highlight this for us, I'm going to ask our lay leader, Bev, Coach Bev, to read Psalm, right before this, Psalm 90, verse 10. So Bev, whenever you're ready, would you please share with us this verse for us from Psalm chapter 90, verse 10.
The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80. If we are strong, even then their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away.
Would you read that one more time just so mm-hmm. we get it? It's only one verse, but it's so important for us.
The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80, if we are strong. Even then their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away.
I'm not going to ask for any hands, but when you hear that, and you think of them saying almost in a way that we would be blessed if we lived to 70 years. It's even rarer yet still if we live to 80 and beyond. If this scripture hits us where we are, then it sort of reminds us that the reward for having a life of 70 years, maybe 80, maybe longer, is that we are going to know the greatest of troubles, the greatest of letdowns, that the world is going to show us all of its brokenness, all of its backside, all the scrapes and the burns and the plagues and the pestilence. It's almost our reward. Now we've talked about this. It's our reward for growing old that we often have to say goodbye to our loved ones, that we have to see that things change, that things become more uncomfortable, there's limitations on our life. Dear friends, it's important for us to remember this, because for this scripture to survive all these years, it needed to survive the oral tradition. It was guided by God to be passed on generation to generation to generation. These truths were passed on from the elders, those people who reached those ages, those people that were able to praise God through those years, because while they experienced the depths of loss and trouble of this world, they also, by the power of God, have the greatest testimony to share with us because of all the stuff in the past, because of all the long years of things, of situations that seemed hopeless. We can now see in all those times of trial the Lord's faithfulness, right? We become to see that a little bit clearer when we look hindsight 2020 in the past, right? You have more years, so while you've endured more things being the elders amongst us, you also have the greatest opportunity to proclaim how great is our God. Because you probably have more in your life to share than I do. Share those stories. Share those ways that the Lord has been faithful. Share the times even when you may have questioned it, so that the Lord can be proclaimed with full glory in your life, that even though we didn't understand the mystery, that even though we didn't comprehend the level of trust we'd have, that the Lord made good on His promise and delivers us, because even though that means that we are not going to experience these things, that we don't live a life without hope. For those of you who have ever walked through the tragedy, I know I can say specifically with me, we always exclaim, how could we possibly face this without our faith? How could we possibly face this without hope that never ends? Dear friends, how could we continue to walk when we understand, begin to understand the depths of God's love and His promises that are faithfully always given? How can we walk in this world without it? Dear friends, that's the compassion we talked about. That's the breaking of our hearts. Because whether you're listening on the radio or you're gathered here together today, there are so many more that we know and even more that we don't, that need to know this kind of hope, that need to understand this kind of faith, this depth of trust, to hear these words of promises here. If they just choose to believe and love in me, I will deliver them. I will satisfy them. I will acknowledge them. I will honor them. Dear friends, believe this promise today, because no promise made of God has ever returned shortchanged. God does what God says He's going to do. When we think about these moments and seek God out, let us remember, we are called to trust. We are called to surrender, as many of our songs initiated for us today. We are called to trust, surrender, we are called to obey. All of these things that we find very difficult to do in a me-centered United States with all our privileges and all of our rights, it's very difficult sometimes to see a compromise, a surrender, an obedience to something other than ourselves. But dear friends, greater than this country, greater than this world, greater than any measure of creation that we have known to humankind, God rules it. God created it. We need to be a people, a community, a nation of dependent people on God. Realize our freedom, yes, but to be a people that are dependent on God. We've made promises as believers, and we've received these things from us. Dear friends, throughout this week, I would encourage you, as I will be doing the same, read Psalm 91 as part of your devotion. And when it speaks to you even still, you know someone in your life who hasn't embraced these promises. Let that lead you to a moment of sincere, genuine, authentic prayer. Name those people by name, that they would come to know this promise if they would just make a choice to not fully understand, but to step out in love. And these promises that God makes will fall upon their life. As we move on in our service, I would like to ask Kathy to come back up today as she shares with us this song. And Kathy, as you get in position, I'm also going to ask the ushers to come forward as you receive these plates. And understanding, dear friends, that this is our response to the Lord's blessing. What we just talked about, the Lord's promises, this is a response out of the blessing we've already received to offer to God the best of what we have. And I'm not sure that's the best or what that is, but I'm going to take that out.
Thy word is
Lord, we have so many things to be thankful for, so many things to show how much we owe to you. Let this be a portion. Let this be the King's portion, our tithes, our offerings of a moment of obedience and surrender to you, Lord. And we would ask that you would bless these offerings, that they would reach all of your ends and your purposes, and you would encourage those who are using them for your will and your purposes. Lord, bless this church and the houses from which these offerings came so that you will be glorified. And in Christ's name we pray this. Amen. Let us sing together number 462, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." 462. Two things to allow us in our sending today. Kathy sang of thy word as a lamp unto my feet. If you've seen a lamp, it's not like a huge spotlight. It's here. We don't have to trust and completely understand miles away. We have to trust that you will guide my feet this far, for it's as far as I can see. But then you can trust one more step, and you will be mystified by where Jesus leads you and who Jesus puts you encounter in front of. Can we trust one single step further than we did yesterday by allowing God to light our path? Could we go today in understanding the song that we just sang and understanding it's not just chronological age, but for every year that we've walked with Christ, we can prove His faithfulness over and over again, because as long as we've walked with Christ, we have more instances and situations in our life when He has been faithful. Could we go today encouraged to share this message, to believe it in our hearts, and then share that great truth of promise, encouraged by the power and the conviction of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to lead us on this holy mission?